Hallelujah. It's our communion service. And if we shared the grace and went home, we're blessed already. Amen. First, I felt like asking, is there anybody who's taken communion before? And as a result of the communion you took, you felt something happened to you. You knew something happened to you. Anybody? Any time before? Taking communion before? And something happened because of the communion. You want to share what that was? Okay. Oh, you can come.
Praise God. I remember vividly two things about the communion. Whilst we were still in Magrelos, I remember, I think I shared one on the platform once before. I had this issue of, I was holding something against someone. This person actually offended me so badly. I think it's a stepmom and all that. So, and I was just holding that. And it's like that was just something like, the best way I can describe it, the Igbos have this proverb that if you are fighting with someone and you hold the person down and you see the person not going anywhere, you're not going anywhere also, you're still down. So that was causing some clogs, holding me from breaking forth in certain areas. But it was during one of those communion services, I just released from my heart as I was taking the communion. I just, even though I was in the right, I asked God for forgiveness and I just let go of that. And because before that was also causing something like a random illness even around me, but all that ceased. So I received healing in that aspect because I forgave, and that's one. The other one was here, one of those times that I had this terrible pain. I can't remember which part it was again, but it was a very terrible pain as I came to service during that communion. As Setman was praying, and he made mention of it that if there's anyone here with an ailment, even in the place of the communion, you can get healed and things can happen. And I just keyed into it, and that was it. At the back there, I had to start doing what I couldn't do before, and I could do those things, and I just received instant healing after taking the communion. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Anybody else? Is your memory coming back? Oh yeah, please come. Please come. I'm speaking on more than just a meal.
Praise the Lord. So I explained to you.
No, carry on. It's communion service. Don't worry. Carry on.
Okay. It happened that very first day. I've never tested it before. So.
Tested or tasted?
Tested, as in I've never taken communion in my life before.
Okay, you never tasted it?
Yes.
You make it sound like Oha soup.
Pastor Mio. You know, my former church, if you don't baptize, you won't take communion. So I went and asked Pastor Mio, can I take communion? I've never baptized before. He said, okay, fine. So two things happened that day. And that day was first Sunday of 2019. And it was New Year. So before the communion, you ask if anybody here need prayer should come. So when I come, you ask me, what do I want me to do? Okay. What do I want me to do for you? I say, okay, sir. It just come in my mind that I need a touch of your presence. Because something bothers me a lot. You know, then I smoke very well. I drink. And I carry women a lot. So I was like, sir. But that particular one come. I said,
don't laugh, for that's honesty. And it means it's over it. That's why you can say it. Amen.
Amen. So when I took when you pray for me after then I took the communion. I was scared. So when I went to my brother's place, all the drink they drink that day, I didn't take it. Even my friend came that day, he bring a cigarette. I said, I don't want. He said, he was trying me. So after a lot, we drink. Then drink, I was sitting down there, they brought food, I eat. Ever that day, I took that communion and the prayer you pray for me till now. I've never tasted cigarette in my life till now.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Anybody else? Anybody else? Go in. Go in. Gone. Hallelujah. Stand on your feet for a moment. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised and adored. So we lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be the presence. Thank you for those online. Thank you for those of us who are here. Thank you for your tangible presence with us. Thank you for the awesome communion table that we're about to share this morning. Thank you because we have heard testimonies of your goodness, your greatness, and your walking even through this blessed sacrament. Thank you because you will do the amazing in our lives this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Go to Acts chapter 2 very quickly. Acts the second chapter. I have just a few minutes. Are there other people who have testimonies? They're not related to the communion, but you have testimonies this morning. Okay, so we'll take those ones after. Hallelujah. I saw only one hand actually, so we'll take one. Nobody else, Abby? Okay, good. Acts chapter 2. Are you there? Acts, the second chapter. I'll read from verse 40. It says, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, which is teaching, and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, which is talking about communion, and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions, and divided them among all as anyone had need. Verse 46 says, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, which is another way again of talking about the communion. Breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Amen. So I'm talking about more than a meal. Not more than a meal, but a strange meal. Can I hear you say a strange meal? Food is more than just food. You know, so when you eat food, is sometimes more than just food. It's not just about the nutrition. So when most of us started eating, when we didn't know, we were not very conscious. We're being breastfed and fed afterwards, and we're not very conscious. But when we became conscious, we were thinking about the nutritional value of food. You know, so we start learning things like what is a balanced diet? You know, what's the value of this kind of food? What's the value of that kind of food? You need to eat this. It's good for you. Or I want to eat that because I like the taste. I enjoy it. I don't want to eat that one because it's not very tasty. You know, so we have our heads wrapped around food as just food. You know, meaning that it's just about the taste. It's just about the nutritional value. But food means more than that in certain circumstances. Can I have an amen? So sometimes when you are eating, it's not just the food, okay? Food actually identifies us even. Food has become, or food is really a vital part of most of us, much more than we know. You know, we are very, it's part of our identity. Back in the day when I was growing up, my dad had a friend who was from from Owo, actually, to be precise, which is Ondo State further up. And whenever he needed to take a break, he would come over to our house and just hide out. That was his leave. You know, he would just come and stay. The only problem was that whenever he came to stay, he needed to eat pounded yam only. And that means that it was pounded yam in the morning, not poundo yam. You know, it was pounded yam in the morning, pounded yam in the afternoon, pounded yam at night. You know, that's what he ate. But thankfully, my dad had a driver who was from the same place, who would take over the chef duties, you know, for him, and would pound the yam for him faithfully whenever he was around, all through. So for him, it wasn't anything. I mean, he couldn't stand the idea of eating rice or eating any other thing. He needed to have that pounded yam. You know, many of us will think that, well, we are not that finicky about food. Food doesn't really matter that much to us. Perhaps until we don't have the food that we really like to eat, then we start discovering how important food is to us. When I went to do my master's in the UK, they promised us, they said they were going to give us lunch every day for the first 2 weeks. And I was very happy, you know, that we'll get lunch in school for 2 weeks. The only problem was, whenever we went to lunch, the food was not palatable. You'll eat something, but I wasn't happy at all. I didn't know how bad it was, but I was almost getting into depression, you know, because not only was I not eating there, I wasn't eating at home either because I wasn't cooking. I could cook many things, except that I had never cooked stew before. And here I was also now in a place where I didn't even know where to find and what kind of pepper to use for what, you know. So I was in dire straits and I was struggling. And by the end of there was even one day that in the afternoon we got to the cafeteria and I looked at what they had laid out and I saw jollof rice. My joy knew no bounds. You know, I was super excited and there was no decorum in the way I served the rice that day. I piled the thing and I said, all these other things you have been giving me says, I'm going to take revenge today. Today is the day we eat every... And I piled the thing and piled the thing and piled the thing. And I went to sit down. You know, you know when you see good food, you're already salivating, you know, before you start eating. And then I took the first spoon and I put it in my mouth and I wanted to spit it out. It was ice cold and it definitely didn't have the taste of jollof rice. It looked like it, but it wasn't. And I said, what is this? And somebody says, rice salad. I said, what? Who messes up rice like this? You know, so it was just terrible. So food can be more than just food. That's when I realized that it was really a core part of my identity. I had to phone a friend in another country, and I said, you now need to help me out. He was in Ireland. I said, you need to help me out because I must taste stew, by all means, this weekend. So he told me what to buy, and then over the phone, he began to tell me how to cook the stew. And I ate the food. You would think that it was so simple, or it was just something for me. But by Monday, I got to class, and people knew that I was different. They said, you are really happy. What happened to you? I said, I ate. I ate. All I had was white rice and stew. I said, I ate food. You know, it was health to my bones. Hallelujah. So it's more than just food sometimes when you eat the food. Years ago, I'd been also, I had to minister to a young girl who apparently had been given something to eat in her school. And since that happened, apparently it was an initiation process. Since that happened, she was prostrate on her bed. She was bedridden for days. She was sick. They didn't understand the sickness. She wasn't eating. She wasn't doing anything. And when we ministered to her, because her brother came to fellowship, and then reported what was going on at home. So we went to the house and asked all of these details and found out this was what happened. And then I interrogated a bit more. I said, does she talk about anything at all? And he said, well, she talks about seeing some people in a dream, you know, some of the schoolmates, and they will wear a certain garment and they will bring one for her. And it looks like she's refusing to take the one they bring for her. And that's all she talks about. And so we prayed for her, and I said, well, she's going to dream again. And this time around, she will dream and see the same people again, but she'll see them running away from her. You know, and that was her recovery. She saw, she recovered and said exactly what I said, that she dreamt, she saw them, and then when they saw her, they turned and they fled, and she recovered and got off her feet. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. So food is not just food. Very often. Are you with me? Sometimes when people offer you to eat, we used to go to this village in Ogun State, Alaha it was called. We were supporting the missionary pastor who was there for many years until he died. And we went there on one of these days. We would usually go with people from church. And on this day, we arrived, we had done, you know, preached and all of that. And then they laid out food. They were offering us food, bringing out food. And you could tell clearly that the people were not ready to eat the food, you know, that they were bringing out. I'm talking about village, no electricity, no. I'm talking of core village. This is not a village like your village where you are still using AC. You know, I'm talking of village where nothing reaches it. Interestingly, it's not very far from Abeokuta or even Ajebo where you have Four Square and all of that, but has nothing in it. Are you there? And by the time you see and they are bringing out the stuff, even the container with which they bring food or bring water for you, your thirst will disappear, you know, when you see it. So people are saying, no, thank you very much. No, thank you very much. But you could see that it was very disappointing, you know, that we were refusing the hospitality. Are you with me? Because food is more than just food. This Jesus instituted what I call a strange meal. Which is more than just eating. Many people have thought it was, but it's way more than that. In fact, in recent times, you know, 2020, we had the COVID outbreak, and one of those days I was driving down the church and I was listening to the news and I could hear the Presidential Committee on COVID-19 speaking, and they were giving their directives and saying that churches need to stop the communion. And I laughed. I laughed at their ignorance because I said they thought it was just food. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because if you understand the importance of it, to those who understand the importance of it, they will not stop it because you said they should stop it. Are you with me, anybody? If people understood what it was, of course, those who don't understand what it is will stop it because you said to stop it. But those who understand what it is will not simply stop it because you stood on a podium somewhere and you said they need to stop it. And I thought to myself, who among them was advising them? But, I mean, if you wanted to, because, again, when we were growing up, we would go to the Anglican church, what obtained in those days and practically everywhere was that everybody would share the same cup. Okay? Everybody will use the same cup, and you come, if you've ever been confirmed, you come and you put your hand like this, the right over the left, and they are going to place the bread on it. Then you must follow it ritually, exactly as it's done. It's one of the ways we can detect who was confirmed. If you sneak there, you can be found out, you know, except if you are smart enough to watch the people around you, you know. So some people watch there and say, this is what they did, you two do the same thing. You know, and when they put the bread in your hand, you don't take it and you lift that hand like that and put it to your mouth. You know, and you are praying. And then the priest will come with a cup and he will give each person, he will clean, he will give the next person, he will clean, he will give the next person. But the moment you've taken the bread, you change your posture. Your hand will be clasped together. So if they were well advised, they could say, what everybody is doing now, or most people do now, they could say, oh, can you consider, you know, using individual cups and, you know, and of course individual bread and not share those things. I mean, that will show that they understand what it is. But to give a directive and say, stop it, means that you do not know what it is. And the one who responds to your directive and stops it also does not know what it is. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So here in Acts chapter 2, and what I'm just doing today is to read places where it was mentioned and instituted. Here in Acts chapter 2, as our starting text, the Bible says that they did it. It was a like compulsory course. It was part of their core curriculum or core activities of the early church that they went from house to house breaking bread. The Bible even said they did it daily. Can I hear you say daily? In recent times, I've been thinking, you know, this our once a month is perhaps too infrequent. But we need to do it more often. Are you hearing me? Maybe every Sunday. We need to do it every Sunday. Maybe even every Thursday and every Sunday. Why? Because if you knew what it was, then you will do it daily like they did. They historically, it is said that Smith Wigglesworth, who was renowned to have raised well over 18 people from the dead, certified. They said actually he raised about 20-something people from the dead, but about 18 were certified. That people said, okay, these ones were medically certified dead. But the others were dead, but there was just no medical person to certify dead before he raised them from the dead. So they don't. The numbers vary when people talk about him, but they say that there were about 18 people that were certified dead by health workers that he raised from the dead. And one of the practices of Smith Wigglesworth, he read nothing else but the Bible all of his life, one of his practices was to break the bread daily. He would break bread daily and take communion by himself daily. What I'm asking myself is, if this man lived this way and did this, what does he know about it that I do not know? Are you hearing me? And I'm hoping that even from what, I mean, with the testimonies we've heard and all of that, I'm hoping that this reshapes our thinking about the communion. But this is a strange meal. It's not an ordinary meal. It's not an ordinary act. It's not just one of those things we do in our church. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Then you say, in our church, we take it every week. What about your own church? In our church, we take it once a month. Only once a month. It's not about, you know, just doing it. It's about knowing what it really, really, really stands for. In that understanding lies the power. Hallelujah. In that understanding lies what we can get out of it. So go with me, if you will, to John chapter 6. John the 6th chapter. And so we'll see certain things that happen, you know, when the communion was taken. John chapter 6, let's look from about verse 50 or so, and we'll read down. Okay, let's cut it short. Verse 57. Verse 57. John 6, 57. It says, as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. Okay, so I'm just picking out one verse. It says, so he who feeds on me. Can I hear it say feeds on me? Will live because of me. Now, there's a whole text there to read. Actually, there are several verses around all of this, so it's not oftentimes the best practice for you to just pick out a verse. But all of those things, Jesus was telling them, I'm the bread that came from heaven, and except you eat my flesh and you drink my blood, then you can't have part of me. And the Bible says that the people were so annoyed, so offended, they didn't understand what he was talking about, but many people left. They just left, and then he asked the disciples, are you not going also? And they said, where will we go? You have the words of life. So Jesus talked about this thing, this communion, this strange meal, in so much that many people left. They left church. I said, what's he talking about? Eat his flesh, drink his blood. No, we are not cannibals. This man is crazy. And they left the place. But if you look at that verse 57 that I emphasize, I read that in one or two other translations. I read the TPT. It says, the Father of life sent me, and he is my life. That is, the Father is my life. He said, in the same way, the one who feeds on me, I will become his life. Ah. Did you get that? The one who feeds on me, I will become his life. That means your life becomes mine. That's what Jesus was saying. In entirety, everything you are dealing with becomes mine. It means that you can sit as you take the communion, no matter the challenges you are facing in life, you can stand there and say, Jesus is the one facing this challenge. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's where you could hear somebody talk about being delivered from habit. Somebody could talk about being healed and all of those things, because he said his life becomes mine. You know, there are times, I don't know about you, but there are times I face circumstances, I have no clue what to do about them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Am I alone? I face things, I have no clue what to do about them, but I remind myself that my life is not my own anymore. I remind myself that this thing, oh, is God that is in it. And he will have to figure it out. He will have to work it out. I may not know how, but this life that I live is his life. That's what Paul was talking about in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, you see me living. He said, yet it is not I. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it is not me. But Christ lives through me. Are you there? You know, sometimes people think that, well, you're a preacher, you don't go through anything and all of that. You know, one day we were in Akure. Reverend Tokumba Adejuma and I were in Akure. We were ministering together in the same church. And one of the evenings, we were fellowshipping together. And we were exchanging notes about the health challenges that we had been through. We were exchanging notes about how our health had been challenged before, and how God has seen us through. Just talking about the things that we have seen, the things that have happened to us, that this happened to me, this also happened to me, and all of that, and God brought me out of it. Are you hearing me? We all go through it. But when you feed on him, he said, your life becomes my life. What you are in, what you are facing, is also what God is facing. Can I have an amen? Whatever you might be going through, you are not alone. Hallelujah. He's right there in it with you. As a matter of fact, in Colossians chapter 3, he said, look, set your eyes on things above and not on things on the earth. He said, for your life is hid with Christ in God. So I said to myself that, you know, the devil needs to get to me. He's going to have to get through God, through Jesus, then reach me inside. Huh? Has anybody ever given you a gift before? And the gift was one, you know, one small gift, then they wrapped it to one big package. Eh? And they gave you the package and they said, this is our present. And then you were already excited. And then you went in there and you opened it and it was one small. You know, one day we were in church. It was, what's it called? Mother's Day. Mother's Day in church in the UK. And they said, all the mothers stand up, we're going to give you a present. You know, and watch my wife says, stand up. So they stood up and, you know, and then they brought these boxes out. And they went giving every mother. I almost stood up. I almost became a mother. Amen. I collected one. And then we collected the thing. And then she was, you know, you see
them giving boxes and you're happy. And then we opened it. And it was one small cupcake. My wife was so annoyed, she didn't eat it for days. He said, why did they do all this drama over this small cupcake? I said, it's the thought that counts. I mean, is that not what we say? It's the thought that counts. Like, how would they give all the mothers hallelujah. But when you look at it, that's what God is describing to us. He said in Colossians 3, he said, my life is hid with Christ, then in God. John 6:57, let me quickly read the Amplified. He said, just as the living Father sent me and I live by or through or because of the Father, even so, whoever continues to feed on me, whoever takes me for his food and is nourished by me, shall in turn live through and because of me. The reason why you are surviving, the reason why you will survive, the reason why you will go through everything and come out on top is because of him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Your wisdom might have failed. Your connections might have failed. Your money might have failed, but you are still coming through. And you will come through, you will come out on top of it all simply because his life is your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go to Luke 24. Luke 24. So this is more than just a meal. It is actually a strange meal because it does so much more. Luke 24. There's an interesting story here. When Jesus rose from the dead, and it's a long read. It says now, verse 13. Luke 24, verse 13. He said, now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. Let me just stop for a moment. I just remembered something. C.S. Lewis, you know, C.S. Lewis was a great writer. I don't know whether you can call him a theologian, but he was a great Christian writer and all of that. They made one or two of his books into movies, in fact, in recent days. And he wrote something. He said there was a time, of course, it's fictional. He said there was a time the little demon said to Satan, he said, what's the game plan? What's the plan? What are we going to do? What are we going to do with those people? And Satan said, it's very simple. He said, we will increase the noise around them so much so that they will not hear the Lord's voice. Are you hearing me? Why did I remember that? Because he was with them. And they were restrained and could not see him. They were busy talking about, hey, you hear what happened? Hey, this Jesus, that he said he will rise. They killed him. Oh, hey, now, wow, we have never seen this kind of thing before. Oh, hey. And then he says he's risen. And all of that. And he was discussing. And he was with them. Too much noise. Are you there? The devil said the game plan is simple. We will raise the noise around them. So much so they will not hear his voice. So sometimes he's not stopping. He can't stop God from speaking. He can't stop God from moving around you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But he can get you distracted with the noise around you. You're quiet now. Sounds like you. Look at your neighbor. Say, I know it's not you he's talking about. Are you still there? Okay, where did I stop? That was verse 16. Verse 17. And he, Jesus, said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? Can you imagine talking to Jesus like that? Say, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people. and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping. We were hoping. My show. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. But he has died. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early, they surprised us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Does that sound like faith? Okay. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, "Oh, foolish ones and slow of heart, to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning from Moses and all the prophets," that's all the books of the prophets, "he expounded to them," that is, explained to them, "in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." You would think that they would know. They still had no clue. They still didn't realize that, who is this talking to us? Are you hearing what I'm saying? So verse 28. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that they would have gone further, that he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then, can I hear you say then? Their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. You know, he was speaking at one point, he said, "You look in the scriptures because you think that it is in them that you have life." He said, "But these are they that testify of me." That is that they were reading scriptures, but they couldn't see him in the scriptures. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Revelation knowledge will pour forth even as you take the communion. There's something about not just looking for a new rev. You know when how we used to say new rev? That is, somebody will share something, say, wow, I never saw that. How did he see that? Wow, pow. But there's something about when the thing hits you in your heart. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Then you may not be able to quote so many scriptures, but the one scripture that you know, the one scripture that you know makes all the difference in the world. People were dying back in the day of Sir Alexander Dowie. They were dying of a plague, and nobody knew anything. Alexander Dowie had buried tens of people in his church because of this epidemic. Buried people. And one day was talking to God, "What is going on? God help. And he saw in the scriptures that sickness is the foul offspring of the devil, his father, and of sin, his mother. He saw that God is altogether good. He didn't see too many scriptures. He just could see in the scripture, just see one scripture and realize that this is not God that is doing this. And that was the revelation knowledge that turned Sir Alexander Dowie into a great miracle apostle of the day. That's all the revelation knowledge, that God is good and it is not God that is killing these people. This is a strange meal. It opens the eyes of your heart. He expounded everything, showing them Moses spoke about it, showing them Malachi spoke about me, showing them, Zephaniah spoke, showing them Isaiah spoke, but they still couldn't see that this was him. But they took the communion, and then their eyes were open. Are you with me? You read scriptures. There are times you read scriptures, and all of a sudden, something is burning out of just one verse. Sometimes it's just one word, and it's burning and burning and burning in your heart. Hallelujah. Number 3, let's go very quickly to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. So we've realized this is what Jesus said. This is what Jesus did. Amen. And these are the effects of what he said will happen. Your life becomes his life. This is what happened when he gave it to them and they couldn't see anything even from the scriptures. Their eyes were open. They could see. And we saw from our main text that the early church knew that this was more than just a meal. They knew this was a strange meal. And so they went from house to house breaking bread daily. Hallelujah. And then came Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Like he wrote himself, he said, I'm like one born out of time. That is that I was not one of them. He said, but I came later. But then in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the man who was not there when Jesus instituted the communion, when he actually sat at that Passover table and he broke the bread and he gave out the wine to the disciples, he was not there. But it was very important enough that God gave him a revelation of what happened there. It was so vivid a revelation that Paul wrote it as if he sat there. He didn't say, oh, the Lord gave them bread and the Lord gave them wine and all of that and instituted communion. No, he described the exact process that he followed in order to tell us that this is very important. Hallelujah. He said in 1 Corinthians 11 from verse 23, he said, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. But the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed. So when he said, I received from the Lord, meaning God revealed this to me. Peter didn't tell me, James didn't tell me, John didn't tell me, God revealed this to me. Okay? That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Maybe we should preach just on in remembrance of him. When you take the communion, what do you remember of him? You remember Jesus Christ. Sorry? The finished, that's big grammar. The finished work of Christ. You know, that's a lot. For us to unpack what she just said now, we'll do another 3 weeks. Okay, to unpack the finished work of Christ. The finished work of Christ means that many things that we are still asking God for, we should not be asking him for. We should rather just be thanking him for them. Are you hearing me? Because they are part of the finished work of Christ. If he's finished, what are we asking him to do again? Are you hearing me? So when he says, do it in remembrance of me, he's saying, remember the finished work. So as you take it, you are remembering and thinking to yourself, when he died on the cross, the Bible says his appearance did not appear like a man anymore. Isaiah 52. He said his appearance was so mad or distorted that he didn't look like a human being. Why? Because on that cross, he carried cancer. Are you hearing what I'm saying? On that cross, he had the headache. His head was throbbing. He had neck pain. Everything that could go wrong with you went wrong with him. And not only so, the Bible says he took the iron writing of the things that were against us and he nailed it to the cross. So I don't have to go to hell. So I don't have to die of condemnation. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He took all the things that were written against us and he nailed it to the cross. That's why it's one of my favorite hymns that we sang today. Because on that cross, as he died, I died. And when he rose, I rose with him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Oh, that cross made me a saint. Who can look God in the face and ask for things with all boldness. Hallelujah. That cross is precious. He said, so when you do it, take it, this my body, which is broken for you. He said, do it in remembrance of me. So when you take it, start remembering. Call back memory. And start remembering what it took on your behalf. The Bible says in Matthew 8:17, he said himself took my sickness and my disease. Himself. Can I hear you say himself? Himself is like, is emphatic. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Himself sounds like he's trying to make an emphasis. That if I said, look, that chair is not there. It has been taken for repairs. Then you say, how did you know? I said, I took it myself. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I took it myself. Myself means that I did it myself. So the certainty of it being done is 101%. Himself means that I did not send an angel to take it in case that one changed his mind. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Or took it and returned it. He said, but himself took it. Himself took my sickness. That's why the Bible says in 1 John 2 also, he said, these things I write to you that you do not sin. He said, but if anyone sin, verse 2, he said, we have an advocate with the Father. He's not just an advocate, he's a lawyer. He said, but hey, he's not just a lawyer. He said, but he himself was the propitiation. He was the payment for the sin. Hallelujah. Are you still here? Man, I'm getting excited though. Huh? I'm getting excited. Because this is more than a meal. Are you hearing me? You know, growing up again in the Anglican church, and they will prepare the communion. They'll prepare the communion. Of course, you never know who's going to show up. Normally, they will have an early morning communion service and then a full service later on in the day. And then they'll prepare the communion ready, and people come to church, and then you take the communion, and then there'll be communion left. And I asked my father, who's going to take that, the one that, because I liked the taste, you know, it tasted really good. I liked the taste. So I said, who's going to take all the one that is left? I said, so will they return? He said, no, they don't return it. But it's already blessed and all that. That is the priest that will eat it. And I thought, Baba, priest, they enjoy you. Yeah, they are going to eat. But you see, I was ignorant to think it was just a meal. So he said, take it. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, verse 25, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim. Can I hear you say proclaim? The word proclaim is you declare. The word proclaim is you confess. Are you hearing me? You confess. You are making a confession. The Bible tells us that what we say, we will get. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The power of life and death is in the tongue. Or life and death is in the power of the tongue, rather. That's a proper quotation. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. What you declare is what will happen. So what am I declaring? I'm declaring Jesus died for my sickness. I'm declaring Jesus died for my sins. I'm declaring the blood of Jesus washed away my sins and made me righteous as if I never sinned. And that blood cleanses my conscience from dead works. Hallelujah. He said, therefore. Can I hear you say, therefore? He says, therefore. So because of all these things we have said, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, so that's how you eat it, will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep, meaning many die. For if we would judge ourselves, we will not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. So that's the unworthy manner I was talking about. The fact that they were all rushing the bread. They were all rushing so like me, that was looking at the priest and saying, Babao, woo, this man they enjoyed. They too were rushing the bread. So as they will pass it around, this one will just cut plenty and chop the thing. So he said, no, rather eat at home. Because this is a strange meal. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He was saying this is not just food. So for the hunger, eat at home. He said, but when we come together, you need to eat it in a worthy manner, knowing what this is, discerning that this is the Lord's body. Hallelujah. And when you do, he said, then many will not be sick, and many will not die. Hallelujah. Let's stand on our feet this morning. Did you get anything? We need to change how we take the communion. Yeah. Where's the communion? Please bring. I don't know what might be your issue today. I don't know what your issue might be today. It might be different from everybody else's, but it doesn't matter. It was covered. It was taken care of by the sacrifice of Jesus. Your worries, your pain, your illness, everything is taken care of. Even as we take the communion, one of the things that I like most about the death of Jesus Christ is that it was a guarantee that God will do anything for me. It was a guarantee that God will do anything for me. But the Bible says, if he did not withhold him, then how will he not with him freely give us all things? If he did that, then what is too big? What will he say no to? Somebody think, oh, God doesn't want to bless me. Why not? If Jesus died as he did because of you, so why won't he want to bless you? Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you. We give you praise. We give you honor. If you are here, you need to make peace. And if you are also online, you need to make peace with the Lord this morning, please do so. Do so very quickly. Put your right hand on your chest and say prayer to him. And that means that you know that you are not saved, or you've drawn away from the Lord. You know you are not who you should be. If your heart is beating faster, then you know that is you. And you just need to do what we said to do. And just pray this morning and dedicate your life to him. There's no point trying, pretending, but go to hell. There's no point. Absolutely important that you seize the opportunity to receive the sacrifice that God has made. I found out that where God is concerned, it's about receiving. We need to receive more than asking him to give. He has given. We need to receive what he has already given. So you tell him in your own words and say, Lord, here I am. I dedicate my life to you this morning. I believe Jesus died for my sins, rose again for my justification. I believe that by that one sacrifice, he laid down eternal salvation for all that will believe in him. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for everyone who prays that now or later. Thank you because their life is transformed, is changed. You said everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank you because so it is in Jesus' name. And you keep them, preserve them, whole spirit, soul, and body, and present them on that day in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you. We bless this element. We bless the bread. We bless the cup. We thank you for the strange meal. We thank you for the miracles. We thank you for the peace. We thank you for the joy. We thank you for the favor just as they had in the early church. We thank you for the increase, even as the experience, the increase individually, the increase as a church, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.